What if every leadership lesson you've ever learned was designed for someone else? Not metaphorically, literally. The frameworks executives memorize, the traits HR departments screen for, the behaviors that earn promotions, they emerged from studies conducted when women couldn't vote, when segregation was legal, when leader and white man were practically synonyms. We've spent decades refining these models, never pausing to ask whether we've been perfecting the wrong blueprint. The corporate world celebrates diversity while clinging to definitions of leadership that systematically exclude the very people it claims to welcome. Leadership theory didn't begin with objective science. It started with Thomas Carlyle's 1840s assertion that history belonged to great men blessed by divine favor. Women, people of color, anyone outside the elite, simply not part of the equation. We might laugh at such obvious bias today, yet its DNA persists in how we idolize charismatic CEOs and favor candidates who look the part. Francis Galton took this further, attempting to prove through eugenics that leadership flowed through bloodlines. Though we've rightfully discredited eugenics, its shadow lingers in assumptions about who naturally belongs in corner offices. The 1940s brought revolutionary behavioral studies from Ohio State University, conducted when black students couldn't live on campus. Researchers categorized leadership as task-focused or people-focused, never questioning whether their universal behaviors actually meant behaviors that help you fit into white institutional culture. Situational leadership theories from the 1960s examined how leaders gain trust from followers using measures like pleasant versus unpleasant, during an era when racial discrimination was the law. Modern trait theories list agreeableness, extroversion, and creativity as innate leadership qualities. But creativity doesn't flow when you're the only person of color in the room without genuine belonging. Agreeableness means something entirely different when you're deciding whether to challenge a microaggression or protect your career. We've constructed an entire field of knowledge on a foundation that excluded most of humanity. Building something better means acknowledging this inheritance and allowing new voices to redesign the blueprint entirely. Power and definition are inseparable. Those who define leadership control who gets to lead, and historically, that group has been remarkably homogeneous. Women of color occupy just 4% of C-suite positions, while Black, Latinx, and Asian CEOs remain vanishingly rare in Fortune 500 companies. Consider how we assess leadership potential. Myers-Briggs and similar tools supposedly reveal natural leaders, but these frameworks privilege gregarious, verbal communicators. Research shows men speak significantly more in professional settings and interrupt women 33 times more often than other men. We've built leadership cultures around extroversion, decisiveness, and assertiveness, then act surprised when quieter, collaborative voices get overlooked. The expectation to compartmentalize sounds neutral but isn't. When you already align with dominant culture, there's little to check at the door. For everyone else, compartmentalization means suppressing your accent, communication style, and lived experience. This architecture operates invisibly, in meeting dynamics favoring those who speak first and loudest, in cultural fit assessments meaning similarity to existing leadership, in mentorship networks forming among those sharing backgrounds and assumptions. Organizations embrace diversity rhetorically while efforts remain performative. Companies hire DEI consultants, establish committees, set quotas, then wonder why nothing changes. The disconnect: you can't achieve genuine inclusion while maintaining leadership definitions created by and for a narrow demographic. Traditional leadership models emphasize assertiveness, competitiveness, hierarchical authority, characteristics historically associated with Western male leadership. When these traits define success, we predetermine who succeeds. Organizations treat diversity as an individual bias problem rather than systemic design flaw. Real change requires examining whose leadership your organization values, who gets heard in meetings, whose ideas get credited, who receives developmental opportunities. Sandra Harding's standpoint theory reveals that knowledge reflects the knower's position in social hierarchies. those atop hierarchies develop blind spots from distance. People navigating marginalized positions develop sophisticated understanding of multiple social realities simultaneously, seeing both dominant perspectives and alternatives. This strategic advantage organizations routinely overlook. Traditional frameworks miss a crucial reality. Marginalized leaders possess uniquely powerful capabilities precisely because of their experiences navigating challenging terrain. Their dual consciousness, operating at the intersection of multiple worlds, allows them to identify blind spots, craft meaningful questions, and develop solutions addressing root causes rather than symptoms. Consider what it takes to succeed as a leader of color in a predominantly white organization. You're constantly reading the room, assessing power dynamics, code-switching between communication styles, managing others' biases. You've developed emotional intelligence through necessity, learned adaptability as survival, built resilience through repeated challenges others never face. Yet organizations treat this expertise as irrelevant, or worse, as deficits to overcome. A Black woman who's mastered navigating microaggressions, building coalitions across difference, and maintaining composure under scrutiny has developed precisely the skills needed for complex leadership. But companies expect her to adopt the style of someone who never had to develop those capabilities. Leaders of color constantly scan for potential threats, automatically assessing every meeting. How many other people of color are present? What are their roles? Who holds authority? Every choice carries extra weight because you're not just an individual, but a representative. In the NBA, despite 75% Black players, Black coaches reached 50% representation only in 2022, facing disproportionate scrutiny where one failure potentially closes doors for others, while white counterparts repeatedly fail without similar consequences. 70% of people experience imposter syndrome, that nagging sense of being a fraud despite evidence of competence. For marginalized leaders, exclusionary environments seep into self-perception. Every microaggression, interrupted sentence, and misattributed idea communicates, "You don't belong here." When you rarely see people like yourself in leadership, of course you question your legitimacy. Yet, imposter syndrome has hidden utility. It creates propensity to double-check work, maintain high standards, and develop keen self-awareness. Those experiencing it typically work diligently to fill knowledge gaps, leading to stronger skill development. This humility proves advantageous compared to overconfidence that leads to catastrophic decisions. The real solution isn't helping individuals overcome imposter syndrome. It's achieving genuine parity in leadership and fostering cultures that value varied perspectives. Organizations can normalize discussions of self-doubt, implement mentorship programs, and establish clear feedback channels. The key is transforming workplace cultures that perpetuate these feelings, rather than trying to fix the people experiencing them. Your zone of untapped capacity exists where your privileges and marginalized identities intersect, where your unique standpoint offers perspectives traditional leadership overlooks. Those aspects of yourself that don't fit conventional leadership, they're assets that could solve persistent organizational challenges. Examine both your power and marginalization. Where do you self-edit or contort your authentic self? Leverage your privileges to spotlight marginalized perspectives and create profound impact. Operating within this zone enables greater alignment. The great realignment has been a great realignment, people rejecting self-refutation and seeking environments where they can show up authentically. Organizations benefit through better retention, innovation, and sustainable performance. Yet many struggle because they hesitate to engage in productive conflict that allows difficult truths to emerge. View conflict as clarifying, spotlighting issues, and producing better work when managed with trust and respect. Start in interviews by exploring candidates' unique perspectives beyond resumes. Embed feedback into daily activities. Share decision-making context rather than hoarding knowledge. Create mechanisms for staff to share their deeper purposes. When leaders admit uncertainty, there's a subtle power shift that fuels trust. The path forward isn't adding diversity initiatives to unchanged systems. It's recognizing that marginalized leaders possess exactly the sophisticated capabilities our complex world demands. Your unique standpoint isn't something to overcome, it's untapped capacity waiting to transform leadership.